I carried these bags around for many years. And I was taught the fear of God. But thank God I never fell into that trap, because I had a real experience when I first met the Lord, and we all have. But for some reason, I was so caught up in the love of God from the very beginning that, you know, I'll never forget, I wept for probably 2 or 3 days. Not at first, because when I first accepted Jesus, I was told that if you just, you know, get alone and ask Jesus to come into your heart, He'll come into your heart and change your life. And I thought, man, that sounds wonderful. And so I did that. I went home and I knelt down in my bathroom and I said, I just said, Jesus, if this is true, if you can come into my life and change me, that's what I want. But nothing happened. I didn't experience anything at all. But about 3 days later, people began to ask me, Gary, what happened to you? You're different. See, I didn't realize it, but people around me did. And when they begin to question me, and this was on the job, when they begin to question me, you know, what happened to you? All of a sudden, the light and the glory of God just filled me right there as they were asking me these questions, and I began to weep right on the job. And it just, right in that instant, I realized that it had really happened, that I had tapped into this unlimited love of a God who had no hatred, He had no animosity. He didn't care how I had lived my life. Made no difference to Him. He just filled my consciousness with His love and His glory. And, you know, I remember what the Apostle Paul said. He said, I was the chiefest, you know. I mean, he was a big shot in religion, Paul was. And he studied under the greatest men, and he said, I was more earnestly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. You know, I often share that the Apostle Paul, he was no different than an Osama bin Laden. He had the same concept of God that Osama bin Laden had. The same concept. That God killed all of his enemies. And you see, we're given that concept from Christianity, because they have never understood the difference between the concept of a God who murders and kills and slays. They've never understood the difference in the concept of the God of the Old Testament and Jesus Christ. Jesus was an absolute contradiction to what the Jews believed. And that's why they killed him. He said to them, I know what your scriptures say. They say an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, that's not my Father. My Father, He loves His enemies. He blesses them that curse Him. He makes His rain to fall upon the just and the unjust. And that's why they killed Him. Because He did not fit into the Jewish mindset of a God who was a ethnic cleanser. I often say to people, what is the difference between the Old Testament concept of God and the Muslims and the terrorists? What's the difference? You see, their mindset has never been changed. They've never had a revelation of the Father heart of God. And neither did the Jews. Even David himself, who is called in the New Testament a man after God's own heart, even David himself never knew the Father heart of God, because David would continually pray. You can see it in the Psalms, how he would pray for God to destroy his enemies, to consume them who come up against me. And like I say, the scriptures say, David was a man after God's own heart. You can love God with all of your heart, and you can still be so screwed up from your religious traditions that you'll think that because you love God and somebody comes against you, if you have that concept, God annihilates his enemies. He told people in the Old Testament time to go in and slaughter everything in sight. Kill all the babies. Kill everything. That's ethnic cleansing. That's why Jesus said, you guys, you really don't know my Father. You don't know him. You're serving him, you think, But see, you're serving him according to the traditions of the elders. And that's why Paul said, he said, when it pleased God to reveal his son in me, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. See, what he said was, when it chose God to reveal his son in me, I didn't go to the Jewish fathers. I didn't confer with flesh and blood. I began to see something that was so contrastingly different between my upbringing and the tradition of the elders that I had to go away by myself. I didn't confer with flesh and blood. I didn't go say, is this right or is this wrong? I didn't go to the Jewish elders to find out, you know. I just didn't do it. And that's the problem with today. See, when I first met this God that I told you about in the beginning, this unconditioning love of God, the only thing I didn't know not to go confer with flesh and blood. So what did I do? I immediately went to the tradition of my fathers. I went back to the church I was raised in. I didn't stay there very long. But then from there, I went on into the Pentecost and got all caught up into the laws and the rules and the holiness and all of that stuff that absolutely killed, at least suppressed, that new life that was in me. So I tell people all the time, especially those who are just coming to know God, don't step your foot inside of a church, in the traditional church, because it will kill that new life that you have. Immediately you will learn that you cannot do certain things and enter the presence of God. And as long as you are led to believe that you can't enter the presence of God with any of these things, or you can't enter the presence of God if you're a homosexual or you're a prostitute or you're a lesbian, you'll never, ever advance in God. Oh, you might gain a lot of knowledge, but you'll never advance spiritually. The only way you will advance spiritually is if God, by His Spirit, reveals to you the truth of His unconditional love for you. And you'll find that, as I did, that no matter what my condition was, I could always enter into His presence and find grace to help in my time of need. And that is the only thing that will ever change your life. It's to discover the richness. It's the only way you'll ever love yourself. It's to fall in love with that being that you are on the inside. It's to have that division we talked about. The division of the natural and the spiritual. Because no matter how bad you are in the natural, you have another life on the inside of you. You may not have even experienced it yet. But everyone in this universe, and this is what we must see in these days, has the essence and the substance of God in their being. And it's our privilege to reveal to them the glory of their being. But you can't do that through guilt and condemnation. You can't give them a way to God through righteous acts or holy deeds. They have to know that right what they're doing right now, right in the very midst of that, whatever they're doing right now, God has never left them. God has placed His life, His seed within you. And again, that's why Paul wrote the whole book of Galatians, is to reveal to people that the religious traditions that they had been raised in, if they were, you know, come out of the Jewish religion, those religious mindsets, those religious concepts will bring you back under the bondage of a performance and make you feel guilty before God because you cannot do what the law demands. And that's why Galatians was written. And that's why the law was given, to make, what it says, make sin exceedingly sinful, to make you realize there's no way you can take your humanity and make it godly. In fact, that's the abomination of desolation, when we try to take this human concept of ourselves in this temple and try to make it God. But when the revelation of His love is unveiled within you, then, you understand what Paul meant when he told the Romans, the gospel of God is the power of God unto salvation. But see, our churches, pretty much all, everywhere, denominations, frequent, they don't hear the gospel. They don't hear about a God of unconditional love. A God who will continually bless you, even when you screw up. I often share what Paul told the Galatians. He said, Christ has, in Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed you from that curse of the law. Well, what does that mean? Who got the curse of the law? The good people or the bad people? The obedient or the disobedient? Well, that Old Testament concept of law was that if you were obedient, God would bless you abundantly. But if you were disobedient, you got the curses. You have a few verses of blessing if you're obedient, but you have like 52 or 53 verses of cursing if you're disobedient. You see, this is the concept. I've shared this now for the last couple of years, that until your concept of God is totally changed, you can't be set free. If you think He is the author of confusion, if you think He is the author of sickness and disease, if you think He is the creator of evil, you will never change. The only creator of evil in this universe is the Adamic mind. That's where it all came from to begin with. And I know what the scriptures say, but I'm here to tell you that until you be able to stand in the presence of God and hear His voice and know that His voice and be secure in what He reveals to you, you cannot advance. Because you'll read too many things here and you'll hear too many things coming out of the religious world. But see, the nominal church, the system of Christianity, they will never let you believe that the voice that you hear is your infallible guidance system. They won't let you. You can't believe that. They won't let you believe that because they'll say it's too easy for you to be deceived. It's too easy for you to get caught up into the New Age movement or into the metaphysical movement or into any millions of other things. But yet, if you don't learn that when you ask God for a fish, He don't give you a stone. You have to learn that where you get your real answers is not from Gary, not from any man on earth. The only place that you truly get what I call infallible guidance for your life comes from your seeking and your fellowship with God in your own private life. People all the time call me, well, what about this? Or what about that? Somebody called me the other day. The day before we came here. And they were all concerned about A Course in Miracles. This is a book that's put out by the New Age. And they said, Gary, what do you think of A Course in Miracles? You don't want to ask me that kind of question. What do you think about it? And here's the kind of counsel I give people. If you're reading, I don't care what it is, A Course in Miracles or the Bible or something by Deepak Chopra, I don't care what you're reading, how do you feel about it? When you read it, does it bring you closer to God? Does it open your understanding more to the unconditional love of God? Does it bring any change to your life? Well, then why ask me if it's good or bad? But if you read it and you sense, this just doesn't feel right. It just doesn't sound right. This may be something from a deceptive... Well, then don't read it. But why come to me and say, what do you think? You see, because this is what Paul... And you've got men all over the world today who will tell you what they think. Don't you touch that. Because that's a deceptive spirit. And the moment you take your counsel and advice from a man, no matter how spiritual that man is, you may miss something. God will not lead you down a wrong path. You may find yourself on the wrong path, at times. But that's why we have a guidance system. I'll never forget, I was in a group one time. And I knew there were some things there that just didn't settle right with me. But I still felt that, you know, that there was something there that I needed or something to learn or whatever. But I'll never forget, I was sitting in my car one morning, I was getting ready to go to these meetings, and God just said, "That's enough." And He didn't say anymore, He just said, "That's enough." And I knew what He meant. "That's it. I don't need to go there anymore." We all need that. But if I had have went to flesh and blood when I first started going there, and I'd have asked some of the pastors, they'd have said, "Oh, don't you go there." But see, I learned some really good spiritual principles in that place. And when I learned, God said, "That's enough." But see, you can't learn what you need to know from Christianity. I'm telling you, you can't. They won't let you. It's the greatest bondage in the world, is to get caught up in some kind of a religious denomination or group. You're not allowed to be a free thinker. And if you don't become a free thinker, you will never get out of bondage. If you're not open, and I'll tell you what, there's too many people that will give you the answer, and you don't need the answer from a person. There are many things written in this Bible, and let me tell you what, if you look at this, I have lived my life in this, so I do not devalue this. I know the value that it has in my life. But this book does not guide my life. I have the resurrected, transcendent Spirit of the living God within me that is my guidance. And when I read something in here, and I know that it's a wrong concept, or that's not my Father, then I'm not afraid to tell you that. God does not kill people. People kill people. Your concepts will kill you. If you believe that God is the author of sickness and disease, or God puts a cancer on you to teach you something, how are you ever going to believe for healing? So why go to a doctor? If God is teaching you something, you need to learn the whole lesson and die with it if need be. See, we have such a mixed message. That's why Christianity, and it's not just Christianity, it's Hinduism, it's Buddha. Every religion in the world is called Babylon. The word Babylon means confusion. And these two seeds that we talk so much about, Adam and Christ, come to a completion in the book of Revelation. One of them is called Babylon, the other one is called the City of God. The seed of man, the seed of the serpent, the carnal mind, no matter how good, no matter how religious, no matter how much you love God, the carnal mind ends up in the city of Babylon. But the only way you end up as a city of God is you have to be one who learns to follow the Lamb whithersoever He takes you, not where somebody else takes you. I have people call me all the time. And they talk about these different books and different men that have helped them. But then they listen to some of the Christian ministers and some of the kingdom ministers, and then they call me. And they say, "Well, what do you think?" And again, I have to say, no, it's not what I think. What do you think? What is your inner witness as you're reading these things? Because I may tell you it's right for me, but it might not be right for you. Or I may tell you it's not right for me, but it may not be, but I'm not going to tell you it's not right for you, because I don't know. I don't know how the Lord's leading you. I don't know what you need to go through. I don't know what experiences you need to walk through to see that at the end, there's nothing but Jesus. That's all there is. See, that's all we're looking for. We're looking for the reality of His presence within us. And all the other stuff is garbage. If I had have went to flesh and blood after my conversion experience, we wouldn't be touching lives all over the world today. When I was growing up, I wanted to be a Lutheran pastor. I wanted desperately then to go to the Lutheran seminary. I didn't have the money. My family didn't have the money to send me. But, you see, I really understand what Paul meant when he said, but by the grace of God. That's all. So I tried desperately everywhere I go to tell people, please go to God. Get your direction from God. Sure, read this Bible. Read it from cover to cover. Study it. Get your Greek. Get everything out. But don't let it become a God to you. Let God be able to speak to you and say, well, you know what? That prophet, he really loved God, but he didn't quite understand what I was given to him. And so his interpretation came out in his writing. Don't be afraid of that. That's the first thing I learned. I was telling Lynn this morning. I studied these things. I cried. For years I cried over this concept of God in the Old Testament. I couldn't understand it. And the first thing that the Lord revealed to me about it, I was reading where Elijah cursed the children and the bears came out of the woods and tore the children to pieces. And I said, God, that can't be you. How could you do that? He said, I didn't do that. Elijah did. That was the first indication I had that those prophets in the Old Testament did not have a full understanding of the heart of God. They walked in the relationship with God. They walked in the power of God. But they did not always use His power wisely. We have that today. So we have to understand God only wants one thing, well, two things for you, basically. All He can do for you. There's only two things. He can't curse you. He can't put disease on you. He can't punish you. The only thing God can do is love you and bless you. Everything else comes out of the carnal mind. Everything else. And it is unto you according to your word. And if you believe, and see, this is a problem with the majority of the Christian world. We have a mixed bag. We're confused. We don't really know the heart of God because of what we've been taught. I did a message a few months ago that I called, Why Do You Believe What You Believe? Because you see, Osama bin Laden and your terrorists, why do they believe what they believe? From a child. They were raised that the American is the enemy. The American is the embodiment of Satan. America is the enemy. And raised from the children and then taught that the greatest glory and the greatest reward in heaven for you is to blow yourself up and take a few Americans with you. Why do they believe that? Because that's what they've been taught. Have they ever touched God in reality? Probably not. And if they have, they still believe what they've been taught. What's the difference? The war in Iraq right now is being proclaimed and justified by Christians all over the world. It's a justifiable war. And I don't get into politics, but I just want to say this one thing. How can we take up arms and pray to God to protect us while we're out killing our enemies? Why? Because we still have that old concept of God, that Old Testament concept that came through the prophets of old, the tradition of the elders. They believed that God was an ethnic cleanser. And so if you're a heathen, God ain't going to fool with you. He's just going to wipe you out. And I guarantee you that if you were raised in that culture and you had never had an experience with God, you too would have flown those jets into the towers thinking you were doing God a mighty service. Yet we condemn the terrorists. You know why? Because you don't know the heart of God. You don't know the heart of God. You don't understand that in the terrorist, in Osama bin Laden, there is a seed. There is an indestructible, incorruptible seed of God in that man. And if someone could get to him and speak life to him, perhaps that seed may be quickened and come alive. That's what happened to the Apostle Paul. He would have never changed had not God given him a revelation of himself. And had he not, went away alone and let God reveal this gospel to him. That's why he said, this gospel that I preach, it is not of man. I didn't receive it of man. It's nothing like the other gospel writers. There really is not. That Paul is the only man that you can find. I don't know how, I still say, I don't know how he got in the Bible. Because he is the only man that you can read and find out that he is teaching a gospel that is diametrically different than the Jewish religion. He picked up on Jesus' gospel. And that, without Paul, we wouldn't even know that God saved everybody. Paul touched. He not only touched the heart of God, but God revealed to him his true nature and character.
Yes.
So Paul could pen all of those wonderful things he penned to people. And then we make doctrines out of them. It's like I shared the other night in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says, even before the foundation of the world, you were chosen in him that you would be holy and without blame. And then we come up with a Calvinistic gospel that says, well, he did choose a few, but the rest of them he chose to go to hell. It doesn't matter. Hey, it doesn't matter how good. This is the Calvinistic gospel. It doesn't matter how good you are. If God hasn't chosen you to be with him, you're going to hell. You don't have a chance. You can cry. You can seek him. You can beg him. Too bad. Because back there in the beginning, he chose a few. They're called the elect. And he made some vessels for honor and some for dishonor. And if you're a vessel of dishonor, sorry, honey, there's no chance for you. How would you like to believe that? It only works for those people who believe that gospel. Oh, wow, we're the chosen. You cannot believe how God has been misaligned in our thinking. God punishes you for sin. That is so untrue. So untrue. A lot of judgment preaching. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. And they stop right there. And then they preach this message about, one day you're going to face that judge. One day you're going to stand before the great white throne, and you're going to give account for your sin. And if your sin outweighs your goodness, or whatever, you're going to be cast out, and perhaps be tortured eternally. But yet that verse in Hebrews, if they didn't stop, this is what it says. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. So Christ was offered to bear the sins of many. See, the judgment, your judgment took place on Calvary.
Amen.
Now, every Christian denomination will teach that Jesus died for your sins. But they'll turn right around and say, but if you don't straighten up, and you don't live like you're supposed to, then when you die, you're doomed. I want to tell you something. There is no one that has ever taken a breath of air that ever doomed in God's eyes. The only thing God is going to destroy is that image of yourself, that Antichrist spirit that sets in the temple of God, thinking that he is a mortal human being. That's the only thing that God will destroy. And he does that through the breath of his mouth, through the words that he will speak to you.
Yes.
The only thing God will destroy is that image of yourself. Oh, brother, the scriptures say that the wicked, God will leave them neither root nor branch. Hallelujah. All the wickedness in me, all the rebellion, everything will be burnt up. And what will be left is his seed. The real me, that's what's going to be left. God is going to consume me by the breath of his mouth. By the fire of his presence will purify and cleanse every defilement in this temple. until one day I stand in the glory, manifesting the presence and the essence of all that He is. That's the only thing He's going to destroy. Now you wonder why this message is so popular? Just because it's the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto deliverance. You see, if you really believe that no matter what you do, God is still going to get you. I won't tell you you won't go through hell. I won't tell you you won't suffer. I won't tell you you might not get disease, but I will tell you this. In the end, you belong to God. And He is going to burn up everything in you until you're fully standing in His likeness and image. See, that's the God I know. How do I know that kind of God? Because that's what He's doing with me. And it doesn't matter what I read. So, I'll tell you, folks, some of the most spiritual men today that's on this planet, all of Christianity is rejecting them. Why? They don't say a whole lot about Jesus. They don't say a whole lot about God. They don't say a whole lot about atonement. Well, I wonder why that is. Let's look at something. Hebrews chapter 6. I know you guys know this. But I hear this all the time. Well, these guys, their teaching is good, but they never mention the blood. They never mention salvation. They never mention Jesus. Listen to what Hebrews says. Chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving, not hanging on to it, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance, of faith toward God, the doctrine of baptism, the laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. You show me a church in America that has gone beyond those basic principles, and I'll show you a place where you can go and be spiritually fed and nourished and raised up in the faith. But when you go to church, all you hear is about how you need to cleanse up your life, how you need to be saved, how you need to this, how you need to that. You only need one thing. You need His Spirit quickened on the inside of you, and then stop listening to voices outside as far as directing your life. Now, I listen to, even today, there are certain preachers and ministers I listen to. So I'm not telling you to shut everybody off. But just know that if you hear something and it don't settle right with you, you don't have to receive it. But you might find out 3 weeks, 6 months from now, what they said was really right. Or you may never feel it's right. But you have to learn. If you want to grow spiritually, you have to learn to go by your own discernment and not somebody else's. You know, that's the only way the student can pass his teacher, is to learn to hear God for himself. Otherwise, you'll sit in a church and you'll never go beyond what the preacher can tell you. All the preacher can do is reproduce what he is. And if he is not advancing, neither will you. Unless you're hearing the voice of God for yourself. And then you'll be able to teach the pastor. Unless he is advancing too. Most of them don't. They're too concerned about holding the flock and teaching the tithing and, you know. We have to learn to hear God for ourselves. So immediately, I conferred not with flesh and blood. Never go to the arm of flesh to get your answers. And I know that's hard. Now, a lot of times I'll go to people that I respect. Preston Eby today is probably the one man I respect so highly. I don't have a problem going to him and running something by him and saying, I feel like this. But yet, if he don't agree with me, I don't feel like that. If I feel something different than he does, I don't feel like I have to take his word. I still have to go by what I feel inside. So, you know, when you go to somebody, they may either confirm or not confirm. So if somebody disagrees with you, the thing to do is not to just say, well, they must be right and I must be wrong, but go to the God and say, what about this? Should I not do this? I feel that it's okay, but this person is saying, don't do it. What should I do, God? And that's the kind of counsel that we need. And then you will not be deceived by any man, because you're following what I call the living star, the living guidance, the infallible guidance system. And I know it's hard for people to really believe they can have that kind of guidance. But if you don't get it, you'll never grow. You will grow, but you'll only grow intellectually. And you'll know a lot of things, but you'll never grow spiritually. Anyway, that's really all I have to say today. I just want to encourage you to get your counsel from God Himself. Amen. This concludes this message. For additional tape copies or for more information, you may write Sigler Ministries, that's S like Sam, IGLER, P.O. Box 26695, Winston-Salem, North Carolina 27114. Or you may telephone us at area code 336-775-4930. Our web address is www.sigler.org. Our email address is orders@sigler.org. All of our tapes are distributed at no charge as finances permit. These messages may not be sold, but you may duplicate them freely for distribution. Many have asked us where to obtain the beautiful music at the end of our tapes. You may write Linda Musgrove, that's M-U-S-G-R-O-V-E, P.O. Box 111, Cunningham, Texas 75434, for information concerning her music. On this earth.